Let me give you some things to do tonight to get into a position to receive from God, okay? And I'm going to give you some scriptures, and you may want to write them down. I'll look them up in my Bible while you're writing, and we'll do them together. The first thing is 10 steps now in order to receive. The first thing is to worship the Lord every morning.
Amen.
Worship the Lord every morning. And the scripture is over in Psalm 34 and verse 1. You have your Bibles, turn over to that. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Worship in the morning is precious. When I awaken in the morning, I begin praying in tongues. Oftentimes I'm marching around our living room, our den. I get up with the word of the Lord in my mouth, worshiping the Lord, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. There is no substitute for worshiping the Lord. It's the way to start your morning. And I put on my seven-piece armor of God. No soldier would go to battle without his armor on. And yet Christians go into the world every day without their armor. I put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, my belt of truth, my gospel shoes of peace, my sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, above all taking the shield of faith, by which I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and number seven, praying in the Spirit. Praying always in the Spirit, Paul said. People say there are six pieces, there are seven. And the seventh is praying in tongues. Worshiping the Lord in the morning when you awaken. That's how you get directions from headquarters.
Yes.
The second thing is to remember to forgive.
Amen.
Mark 11:25. Jesus said, remember to forgive. For if you do not forgive, your Father which is in heaven will not forgive you. We all want to be forgiven. Sometimes we forget to do the forgiving. Unforgiveness, my wife would say if she were here, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness will do nothing to them, but it will kill you. Remember to forgive. Live a life of forgiveness. One of the great secrets of my life, with all that has come against me, and I have had plenty to have come against me, is I've learned how to forgive and to let go and give those people to God. Only God can handle them. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And I asked my father what that meant. And he said, son, only God can absorb the punishment that vengeance brings. Notice when you point your finger at someone, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself. That's number two. Number three, listen for the whistle. Listen for the whistle. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. In the hundreds of years ago, in the days of the trackless deserts of Saudi Arabia, there was a certain trainer who worked with Arabian horses. And he used a whistle. And he trained the horses to obey the commands of the whistle. And at the end of their training session, when he was almost ready for them to graduate from their school, he would make them go for a long period of time without water. And when he saw that the horses were not going to survive without water, he would release them to run to the water. And just before they put their muzzles in the water, he would blow the whistle. And the whistle meant they had to turn around and come back to him. And the horses, when they heard the whistle, Some would turn and trot back. Others would bury their muzzles in the water. And the ones who came trotting back graduated. And the others went back to school. And the ones who graduated were given to the king because they were the finest horses. God has a whistle. And the whistle is the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Listen to God. You've got two voices in the world. You've got God's voice and you have the devil's voice. And if you can't tell the difference in the voices of your best friend and your worst enemy, then you need to get saved. Listen for the whistle. Then number four, speak God's word out loud. Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's what we talked about last night. Speaking, saying. Jesus said, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. What you say is critically important because God created everything you can see from what you cannot see by what he said. And people say, well, I don't speak much. Well, you may not speak much, but you need to speak the word of God. Of course, the Bible says you shall have whatsoever you say. And if you've not been saying the right thing, you need to repent and start saying the right thing. Then number five, pray until the pain stops. Pray until the pain stops. Now, the scripture on that is in 1 Thessalonians. Turn over to your right to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll begin at verse 17. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Now, that does not mean that you are in prayer all day long, but it means you are in an attitude. You're bubbling over with it so that at any given moment you can break into prayer. Okay. Prayer is the key that unlocks the throne of God's mercy. Prayer is the sincere desire of your heart. Pray until the pain stops. When our oldest daughter, Jordan, was little, Lindsay had a car that was two-door, and you remember the kind of car that you had to push the seat forward to get into the back seat? And she was putting Jordan in the back seat of the car in her child's seat. And when she put the seat back up, accidentally she closed Jordan's foot in it and smashed her foot. And Jordan began to just wail and cry. And Lindsay realized what she had done. And of course, you know, she did everything she could do to get her foot out. And then Jordan began to say, pray, mommy, pray, 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 mommy, pray, pray. And Lindsay began to pray, Lord, you'll go into town praying. And Jordan said, pray, mommy, pray, pray. I pray. Well, I just pray. Well, pray again. Pray, 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 mommy, pray, pray. Finally, Lindsay said, well, how long do you want me to pray? She said, till the pain stops. Pray till the pain stops. I've been praying for one of our dear friends the past couple of months. They're diagnosed with bone cancer. And it's getting better and better and better and better. And just got a tremendous checkup, which I just heard about yesterday. And I'm not giving up on praying. Praying, praying, praying every day. Talking to him two or three times a day. Already talked to him twice today. Probably call him again after the service tonight. Just pray until the pain stops. Just keep praying and praying. Number six, don't be a doubter. Amen. Yeah. James chapter 1. That's over to your right. Right after Hebrews. That's why you husbands need to make the coffee. The Bible says he brews. Amen. Oh, by the way, did you know that Isaac was the first smoker in the Bible? When he saw Rachel, he lit off a camel.
I definitely
That was really bad, wasn't it? All right, James 1:6. James, I'm in Hebrews. Let's get over to James. James, now I'm in Peter. Where's Hebrews? Where's James? James 1, verse 6. But let him not ask in faith, I'm sorry, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Nothing wavering.
Nothing wavering. Don't be a doubter. Believe it, receive it, doubt it, do without it. Okay. You know, you're going to live by your faith or you're going to live by your doubts? I'd rather live by my faith. Don't be a doubter. Don't have a doubter type of attitude. Don't be the kind of person who says, well, I doubt this will happen. Don't do that. Be in faith, not in doubt. Then number 7, don't just sit there, do something. Don't just sit there, do something. Get into some kind of action and just go one chapter over, James 2, and start at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you says unto them, depart in peace, be warm. How much is that going to help them? Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? A faith without works is dead. You can tell me you have all the faith in the world, but until you release that faith, until your faith becomes action, faith must have a corresponding action. So don't just sit there, do something. You know, they say there are three types of people in the world. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who say, what happened? Where do you fit in there? I want to make things happen, and that happens by my faith. Faith without corresponding action is worthless. Use your faith. You were born with it. You have it. Number 8, sow your seed. Your season is waiting. And the scripture, of course, is Luke 6:38. Talking to pastors, we were coming over, and I said, when do they plant corn in Iowa? He said, typically between April 15 and May 1, depending upon the weather. And he said, there is it's like a science, you said. There is a certain temperature that they want the ground to be, what, an inch or two below the surface? They want it to be 55, 56, somewhere along there. And there's a science to it. And so what I'm trying to say is the seed waits on the right season. The seed waits on the season, okay? Everybody in Iowa understands there's a time that you don't plant it today. We had sleet this morning, right? When he got out this morning, it was sleeting. Okay, you're not going to plant corn this morning, right? It wouldn't make it. There's a time. There's a season for the seed, okay? And the seed waits for the season. But in the supernatural realm, it's not like that. In the supernatural realm, your season is waiting on your seed. And what I mean by that, I mean when you sow, it becomes your season. To receive from the Lord. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with what measure you give, it will be given unto you again. Number 9 is wait on the Lord with expectancy. And that's over in Isaiah. Go back to your left to Isaiah. Chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40. And look here at verse number 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Yes, 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 yes.
We have to have some patience. Holy Spirit patience. Because when a word comes, it does not always come and be fulfilled immediately. Now, we Christians, we want everything done in a microwave style. We want to pray it and we want to receive it immediately. And when we don't get what we want, we kick God. And we wonder what the problem is, and we blame it on God. But he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Back in the 70s, I don't know if any of you remember the old Nashville TV show, Hee Haw. Yeah. Remember Hee Haw?
Yeah.
I was asked to come down and be a guest on Hee Haw. And I did two programs with Roy Clark and Buck Owens and all the gang there, Grandpa and Lulu and the whole group. They're all there. And I sang a gospel song, "They That Wait Upon the Lord Shall Renew Their Strength." I sang it, and they were humming along with me, you know. You got to wait on the Lord. Now, we don't like to wait. We don't like lines. Okay? We don't like lines. However, there's a time when you have to wait on the Lord. When the prophetic word came to me when I was 19 that I would be in the healing ministry, there was a waiting time because I needed to mature. I needed to grow up. I wasn't ready. If God had put that in my hands then, I would not have known what to do with it. It didn't come for a number of years, but the good news is it came. And I think I can testify to that, and I think you know it's true because you saw it in action this morning. But there's no telling what I would have been preaching here if I was 19 years old and it happened. Okay? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And number 10, believe that nothing is too hard for God. And that's Genesis 18, verse 14. The question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? There is nothing that you're facing that God cannot handle. He has a timing for it. He has the right season for it. Don't say this is too hard even for God. Nothing is too hard for God. No matter what it is, if it's spiritual, if it's physical, if it's financial, if it's emotional, if it's a mental situation, if it's in your family, in your marriage, in any area of your life or your ministry, nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
Keep those 10 attitudes and get yourself in a position to receive from God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?